going to read a little from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and I'll read from verses 33 and following. Luke 11:33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Amen. It's with some irony that we sit in a room tonight where we've had to close the curtains to keep out the sun, because it's so low at this time that it gets in people's eyes. We know that in the Bible, light is often a picture or a metaphor for truth. So we talk about having seen the light. The hymn that we just sung, I think, had a verse in which it talked about light. Indeed, Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. So here, Jesus himself, who is the light of the world, is talking about light. Now, when you get a section in the Bible and you want to know what it means, you need to look at the context. And the context comes immediately before it. So I'm just going to nip back to verse 29 and read a few verses from there. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign Jonah the prophet, the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus is talking in the first century, and he's currently in Judea when he's saying it, and he talks about that generation being an evil generation. Now, in one respect, they were very religious, they knew the Old Testament scriptures, yet he calls them an evil generation and contrasts them to two Old Testament peoples. The first one is the Queen of the South, sometimes called the Queen of Sheba. And she, though she was almost certainly an Arab, travelled a long and difficult journey to meet King Solomon, not just that she might admire his wisdom, but surely that she might also meet his God. And the Queen of Sheba, though she had limited light, responded to what light she had received. Likewise, we know the story of Jonah and the whale, or really Jonah and the fish. And Jonah went to Nineveh, something happened when he preached that doesn't tend to happen when I preach, but A, people listened, B, people responded, and C, people turned to God. That doesn't usually happen when people preach. But anyway, it happened in Nineveh. And Nineveh was a vile, violent city, but Jonah preached and said, judgment is coming, and they repented. He didn't give them a masterclass in Jewish theology. But he did shed light. And Jesus here is saying that the men of Nineveh will rise up on the day of judgment and put to shame those well-educated, theologically correct Jews of his own day, because a greater than Jonah was among them, and they rejected him. A greater than Solomon is among them, and they reject him. We believe that Jesus did not begin to exist 9 months before he was born, as was the case with me. But Jesus is in fact God himself. The God who appeared to Solomon is the one who was with the Jews that day. He then starts talking about light. And here are people who, although they are deeply religious and they're very moral and they believe in tithing and observing this religious fast and attending that religious festival, in fact, they are living in darkness. Because, and of course, we can't really talk about being a Christian then, but we would talk about being a Christian is not simply being baptized or taking communion or coming to church. It's knowing and loving the Lord. It's actually having his light within you and that light enlightening your entire body. You know, it's possible to know spiritual truth, but it stays in the head. It never makes it down to the heart. It never has an impact or an effect upon how one lives one's life. And the Lord starts by saying, when you light a lamp, you don't hide it. You put it in a prominent place so it can light up the entire room. The idea of lighting a lamp and then putting a box over it or a basket over it is entirely ridiculous. He then goes on to say that the lamp of the body is the eye. So what I see, what I look upon, helps to illuminate the rest of my life. When your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body also is full of darkness. I had friends come to visit me last night who they look after their grandchildren an awful lot. And they're saying now that in almost every cartoon that those little children watch, they're peddling the so-called equality agenda. So in a children's cartoon, you've got two women marrying and two men marrying, and that's little children. And of course, there is much out there which is wrong, which is evil, and if we dwell upon it, it will of course begin to affect our entire body. That's why I read the Bible. That's why we're reading it now. Because when you look at that which is full of light, that light comes into you as well. And you can reflect it to others. He goes on to say, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Now that's a strange thing to say. Darkness surely is the absence of light. But I think the implication here is, you're always giving something off. Are you leaking darkness, or are you shedding light? Are you a source of light, having received the light of the world, or in fact do you take no light to where you go, where you come, and where you go? If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Again, another strange thing to say. How can one's body be full of light? Well, when you receive the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has an effect on the way you live. Now, your body does not physically change. If it did, our churches would be packed. You know, I mean, how much do people pay to have the wrinkles stretched? Or to look younger, or to look more athletic without actually having to go to a gym and do some work. If you became a Christian, and the promise was, you know what, you're going to get your brand new body right now, everybody would be queuing up for it. Not because they love the Lord or they're grateful for what he did upon the cross, but because they want the benefits of it right now. No, your body physically, I'm afraid, it continues to age. And yet, that light that you have, perhaps from the eye, having looked upon his word, by faith, those hymns, beholding the Lamb upon his throne. We can't physically see him, but we see him through the eyes of faith. It does actually affect the hands. If my hands are part of a body full of light, they won't be used to steal things. they won't be used to hit people. If my body is full of light, my mouth and my tongue will not be used to gossip or to harm people. In other words, if you really had an encounter with the light of the world, it will affect your body. It will affect the way you live. It will affect you day to day. It will affect you on a Thursday, not just a Sunday, while you're at church. And my prayer for me, and perhaps your prayer for you, is that I might shine all the more brightly as I draw closer to him whose light, in fact, I am reflecting. Amen.